This is Jean McMillan interviewing Christine Givert, musical director of Crescendo. I am at her home for
484 Lime Rock Road, Lime Rock, Connecticut. The date is May 1st, 2012. May I have your full name?
My name is Christine Givert.
And when were you born?
I was born on the 17th of August in 1964.
And where were you born?
I was born in Hamburg, Germany.
And I know that you have a wonderful background in conducting and musicology and choral music, so I'm going to skip over that part of your education and ask, how did you come to the area?
Oh, I came to this area at the end of 2001. By then, I was living in Lenox, Massachusetts, after a half year in Boston, which is the first time I came to this country. And the priest, by then minister or priest of this Episcopal Church here in Lime Rock, Beth Long, hired me as a part-time musician at Trinity Episcopal Church in Lime Rock.
Now, Christine, tell me how the idea of Crescendo evolved. Give me some background, some history, and what your future plans are.
Okay. The idea of Crescendo came up in 2003, and it came out of several concerts that I started to do at Trinity Church in Lime Rock, organ and harpsichord concerts. I had a series of concerts for world peace every Saturday morning over 3+ months. And then I put together a choral concert, which they hadn't had in many years, I understand, where we invited musicians and singers from other churches in Millerton and Sharon, and I believe Salisbury as well. And we did that concert. And the time came for me to move back to Boston or to New York or go back to Europe. And people in Lime Rock were so excited about these projects, the chamber music, the organ concerts, and the choral work, that they asked me, couldn't you see anything that you could do around here? And I said, well, I have a lot to offer, a lot of plans, a lot of ideas, but I believe this church is just too small to be able to have such a big music program, that something that I could design or propose. And people told me by then, why don't you come up with a proposal that will be under the umbrella of the church for a few years and is though thought to become an independent organization, which is what by then made sense to everybody, that to see if it got to be self-sustaining at some point. And at some point I said, okay, why not giving this a try? It's a beautiful thing to do, to design my own music program. And so I did, and with the support of the singers and musicians, and by then mostly parishioners of Trinity Church Lime Rock, this program got started in summer and fall 2003, officially, I guess, October 2003. Also, we counted with the support of Deanne Hunstein, who is a musical agent who shares her time between New York and Sharon. And she helped us in the sense that she had an international musician who was touring in the States, the pianist Paul Badura Scola, and he with some other chamber musicians gave the first chamber music concert to raise the first funds for Crescendo. That was in October 2003, and very graciously Carolyn Rome gave us her residence and held a cocktail party and invited many people to come and hear and find out about Crescendo. So those were the beginnings of Crescendo.
Were there other local people involved from the church or from the area that you can think of?
Oh, yes. In the beginning, there were, as I was saying, parishioners of Trinity Church, also the pastor or priest, Beth Long. But if I remember well, at the beginning, there was Gay Tucker, who was co-president with Randy Williams, and on the board at the very beginning was Randy Orzano, Martha Bear, the Randy Orzano from Sharon, Martha Bear from Lakeville, Kitty Benedict from Salisbury, at the very beginning, I believe, also Judith Sherman or Brown from this parish, and several others, and I would need to look at the records, who was actually really in. It was a bit of a floating group in the beginning, and then very soon, after maybe a half year or so, our president turned out to be Kitty Benedict, who really was the one who worked very hard to get our group organized and get us through the first years. And Martha Beer and Randy Orzano were part of that. And who was, there was a yet another person in the first year. So that was the first era. Then by 2006, somebody that is also known in this area, it is Herb Prem, joined our group and helped us very greatly to transition Crescendo into becoming an independent 501c3. He did all of that work for us and helped us to become an independent non-for-profit organization.
Now, would you tell me some of the types of concerts that you've done?
Okay. The very first own concert of Crescendo was actually a small vocal ensemble group, similar to our recent concert last week. And it was with some of the most talented and dedicated singers, amateur singers, then, that we did a program in February of 2004. Something called, I forget, it was on Valentine's Day, so it was about love and music, and it was so gracious, the church hosted us, even though this first concert wasn't even religious music. So those singers were Eileen Epperson, soprano, Pam Haff from Sharon Alto, she meanwhile moved away, Tom Schindler, who is a Trinity Church choir singer as well, and Randy Orzano, who by then already was singing countertenor, the male alto voice, and myself, and I brought my harpsichord, and we did that program that was very well received. So that was really our first own Crescendo concert with few singers. And then I thought about something that I'm passionate about, which is the large choral music, and especially the music that has the chorus in echo, which is such a fascinating phenomenon. When you have more musicians and singers, you can do this beautiful repertoire that was explored by the Italian composers like Gabrieli in the second half of the 16th century. And so we did a double choir concert right away, the very first choral project of Crescendo in November 2004. And for that, because I knew some singers in the area and people started to come right away, but I thought maybe it wasn't enough, I collaborated with the Norfolk Congregational Church with Elizabeth Allen and her choir, and they joined us at the very end. And we did one concert in Lime Rock and then the other concert in Norfolk. That was our first choral concert, 2004.
And then you've moved to Great Barrington for some
as well. Over 2005, we were still establishing ourselves and trying different things. And then in 2006, we started performing in Great Barrington as a second venue. After a second venue in Hartford, which didn't go so well because we didn't know the terrain. Nobody really was from there. We did a concert in December of 2005 where everybody was doing other things and had a small to no audience for a wonderful concert. And everybody was very disappointed, saying we can't do that. And we realized we did that in the Hartford Cathedral, and it was wonderful, but we had no clue about publicity and what it takes. So Great Barrington is a wonderful area, and a great number of our singers come from Massachusetts. I would say a third of them is from Massachusetts. So it was much more natural, and everybody here is used to going to Great Barrington. So we talked, and we've had two venues there, St. James first, that unfortunately has been closed down and will reopen, and we're very also looking forward to going back there as well. And then very graciously and kindly, the Congregational Church in Great Barrington has hosted us for all of these years.
That's my home church.
That's your home church. Pastor Van Oostel and
Pastor
the trustees, Fred Fork and other trustees have been so supportive of us. Really wonderful. We've enjoyed. Really, Gordon, my husband, has custom built risers around their wooden 6-foot-tall pulpit that mm-hmm. is otherwise an obstacle for setting up a choir and an orchestra. So, and we store them there. So we have like, and they can use them for their functions. So we have like a symbiosis with that church, and we get great audiences there. There's a different crowd than here in Lakeville or Lime Rock. It's our home church, of course, and mostly the choral concerts we almost sell out. That almost happened from the beginning that we were selling out this.
And they're always
space.
Different.
You've
done one on death that was extremely interesting and innovative, and you've done European music, you've done South American music, you've brought in Chilean performers and instruments. So your concerts that happen usually in November and March are varied, and nobody knows quite what to expect, except it's going to be wonderful.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, but that is the excitement of being in a chorus, and also it's organic. I research constantly, but I also find new musicians. I see how our own singers are developing and what we can achieve and what the next step is and what will be the challenge for the singers. And I come upon repertoire. I remember something that I already did. My specialties, of course, the early music and the period instruments. So in 2007, we really established a period instrument orchestra, which is still a rarity in Connecticut. Yale School of Music has a period instrument, very fine and professional ensemble. They also draw some musicians from Boston and even from New York. And so our musicians come from Boston and New York, and I have a core of the same musicians that come back every year, every season, some of them. And so that started in 2007 that we started performing with period instruments, and that's a specialty. And but nevertheless, as you were saying, we've done Dave Brubeck's Jazz Mass. The Dance of the Death project was a multimedia with projections and animations and dance and narration, and we collaborated with Simon's Rock College in Great Barrington. And so there is contemporary music. There is the musician Rodrigo Tarraza, my also Baroque ensemble partner, but who also plays this electronic wind instrument. He's improvised, and we've done a fusion of Renaissance with modern improvisation. So yes, we always explored new alleys and tried to surprise our audiences.
What do you see as the future of crescendo?
It's a difficult question. I have so many plans on one hand. I have many dreams and thoughts, and I find constantly that it is very hard to think far in the future, and it is a little bit the nature of how small organizations and culture exist in the United States. You can unfortunately not plan very much into the future due to the financing. So even though we've been advised and learned over the years that strategic planning is a very important thing, we have not gotten to that point. I have a list of things that I would like to do, but I don't know what of that will actually become a reality. I had several plans. One of them is a regular Baroque cantata series. I wouldn't want to say only Bach cantatas, but Baroque cantatas. They have different formations from a few instruments and a soloist to a full orchestra or two orchestras and two choirs plus children's choirs. And my idea has always been to start to establish something that does periodical concerts on a more ongoing basis than just twice a year. I would like to draw in people and give younger musicians as well as older the opportunity to perform with really high-end musicians and instrumentalists and learn about how exciting it is to perform in historic style. I think of children's choruses such as Joyful Noise, where some dedicated kids could probably take a couple of other more concerts a year, just collaborating with the sister organization. Or there's the Berkshire Children's Chorus. There are the kids at schools who are very, very talented. That was one of my dreams. I haven't been able to realize it. I also like inviting musicians from other choirs to just come. We set everything up. We have it organized. We have the orchestra. And to be able to provide that structure and the venue and the planning of it, and then just have people come and enjoy the rehearsals and a concert, that is a little bit my dream, to do more than twice a year a large concert, which is already wonderful. But we haven't gotten there. It obviously takes a lot of money and organization to do that.
Now, I know that you play the harpsichord beautifully. Were you at all influenced by either Wanda Landowska or Denise Restu?
Oh, yes, greatly. Already when I was a young student in Chile, I was not yet a harpsichord student, but I already knew of her. There were recordings, of course, that I could hear. And she was an incredibly inspiring personality. And I remember as an incredibly inspiring moment when I heard her Goldberg Variations for the first time. I believe that was in Chile on a cassette. Then when I studied in Germany, occasionally I had some heard some recording of hers, and she was always this incredible figure that I was aware of that had started the early music and harpsichord playing. I was one of the really great people who did that. But there was never a place where she was featured so much, neither in Chile nor in Europe that I was aware of. And only when I came to the States and then ended up for this incredible coincidences in Lakeville, where she lived so much of her life, I started to immerse myself a little bit more and really study her life and study her legacy and read her books and listen to more. And then only after a couple of years of being here, I finally made my way to Denise Restu, and I was enchanted by her. And she was so giving and gracious. She gave me, she was older, and but nevertheless very vital, and she gave me her long tour and with her all of her explanations and kindled my passion. I played a little bit for her, and then unfortunately our friendship started, and a few months later she passed away, and I was regretted that so much. But yes, and then I took it upon myself to promote this legacy in this town and also further, and this has kind of started to take a life of its own. And at the present, what Crescendo is embarked in now is a result of our year-long tribute in 2009 that you were involved with, because you did an exhibit at the Salisbury Historical Society of her paper clippings and records of Wanda Landowska. It was her 50th anniversary of her death. And this then we got involved young musicians in that, and later on a Polish, Wanda Landowska was Polish, a Polish harpsichordist came and wanted to play here and asked if we could organize that for him, which then I did, and Crescendo supported me in that. And then I was invited last year to travel to Poland to study their early music. All of this as a result of honoring Wanda and the importance of her tradition, which also is the only thing that I've been able to bring to the schools so far. And the Salisbury Central School with Lou Bucherry invited me, and I collaborated with him, and so we could do something for the first time at schools, which was really motivating. Good kids.
Oh, yes.
And okay. You know that, you taught there. And so this year in November, what we're doing with Crescendos, an entirely Polish program, choral music, of this, mostly of the 17th century, and it is again wonderful. Most of it wonderful echo music. Mm-hmm. Many of the Polish composers studied in Italy with Gabrieli. Probably some might have met Monteverdi. It's very little known about their lives, but it's fantastic music. Thank God it's all in Latin, so we don't have to learn the Polish. that would be a stretch for the amateurs. So that's how this all has been. That's why I'm saying it all evolves pretty organically. Mm-hmm. You don't quite know. I have lots of ideas and thoughts, but...
But that's what makes it so challenging, because you really don't, you haven't got a straight line. It's all over the place, which is very creative and very innovative.
Yes, and at the same time, I would like to have more certainty, because sometimes if you have, you know that your future is assured, and then you can also, your creativity can also develop differently. I wish that was there. At the moment, we are at a point, almost like a breaking point, because one of our large supporters is moving away to the other side of the country. So it's been a true symbiosis. She's held our pre-concert talks. She has sung in the chorus, so I've had a real connection with her, and she has also really supported Crescendo in a way. And you always say, don't rely on one large donor, and of course we are not. We're doing many other campaigns.
But she has been a main support.
She has been. And everybody's working very hard. I have to mention Joe Loy, who was our president for several years as well, and is still a board, a very active board member. She brought us forward so much during many years, has given incredibly much. Peggy Hack, also a teacher, she has really developed our underwriting campaigns in these years that have been so difficult since 2008. She somehow found her way. Jeff Brown, who is also a local historian, has come on the board in the last years and has developed our web presence and that aspect, which is so important to be modern and out there in the electronic media and the social media, and Jeff Brown has done that. And it's terrible when you start naming people's names, because I'm surely forgetting some, but Daniel Gerdy, a parishioner of Trinity, also has been a member for many years. Martha Nesbitt, the quiet people behind the scenes, our treasurer for many years.
And I know that anyone that listens to this tape will realize that there are so many people that on the spur of the moment you can't remember them.
But
they are all valuable in their own special ways.
Oh, everybody contributes. And for now a year or so, a little longer, our president has been Ed Beatty, who was the former broadcaster of the Met, who is not a local person. He lives up in Claverack, New York, so he commutes down here. But nevertheless, he has given us his time and support. And of course, people are also interested in what he has to say, and he has this whole opera background. So it's very interesting, our mixture of people that have made this happen.
That's what makes it so unique,
I think. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to add to this interview?
Well, one thing that I envision is that the music and the culture became something more known, which I guess this is one of the purposes of your interviews,
yes,
to make known what is local. So often, and still too often, I run into people somewhere that have never heard about Crescendo. And what I envision, and I think I'm not too ambitious or arrogant by saying that people would start to be proud of Crescendo being local, Crescendo being an organization based here, from here, and that people start to really embrace that, like Norfolk embraces the Yale Festival. And I sometimes feel, of course, Yale University is a big institution with lots of means, but of course also with many, many years of tradition. So understandably, the town of Norfolk is very identified with the festival, which is on a great scale. And locally here, I'm very kind of pleased to see that Music Mountain somewhat is that for this place. And I never felt like we were competing with Music Mountain. On the contrary, we've performed there. Nicholas Gordon has been very, very supportive of us, has offered us many times, don't you want to come up on the mountain and perform? But the venue's too small for our chorus. And so I have only performed chamber music there. So I would like that people would see Music Mountain and Crescendo as, and also then there is the Falls Village Children's Theater, who is becoming a musical entity too. And of course, how could you not mention the Triarts in Sharon? So that this area would really become so proud and supportive of their own culture, because we bring international artists here too. Mm-hmm. We support children that have become musicians in their own right. There's two local girls that now are becoming both soloists and specialists in early music.
Excellent.
One is Rebecca Palmer, daughter of Bob Palmer in Canaan. Mm-hmm. And she's went to California. I coached her at first in Light Opera that used to function in Salisbury. And then I coached her over the years in early music. And she studied in California, I think, San Francisco, and is now in Boston, being a specialist in early music. And Alicia DePaolo, Paul DePaolo's and Judy Dansker's daughter, she went to study to Bloomington, early music.
Good.
She's giving her master's recitals now, and she's become a soloist, and she was our first 16-year-old soloist in Gloria's Vivaldi. I heard her, I believed in her musicianship and her maturity. I coached her, and it was in 2005, I believe.
Wonderful.
And she since has taken, so we feel that we've done many workshops and classes and here and there work with the young people. So I would like that our community would become more aware and that we can work better together even.
It will come. You're still a very young organization in the scheme of things.
Going towards our 10th anniversary.
That's minuscule compared to Norfolk Tri-Arts. And it will come because you have the enthusiasm and the support of many people in the community.
Yep.
And I want to thank you so much for giving me this interview, Christine.
Thank you, Jean. This was a pleasure.